tonight, we'll continue.
That's chapter 63, call. Very good. And tonight we'll go from verses 18 to 33. Excited to a frenzy by the fighting, Banasura simultaneously pulled taut all the strings of his 500 bows and fixed two arrows on each string. Lord Sri Hari split every one of Banasura's bows simultaneously and also struck down his chariot driver, chariot and horses. The Lord then sounded his conch shell. So why does Krishna blow the conch shell?
Panchajanya.
Panchajanya. Why does he blow the conch shell?
To show you victory.
Yeah, because it's a sign of victory. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the first chapter, it describes that Krishna and the Pandavas blew their conch shells. And even though their army was lesser in size, it cracked the hearts of the sons of Duryodhana, because they understood they were going to lose the battle based upon the confidence that Krishna and the devotees showed by blowing the conch shell. So whenever Krishna blows the conch shell, it is a way to give the devotees a feeling of confidence that they will win the battle. So basically we are all fighting a battle. What is the battle we are fighting?
With Maya.
Yeah, because Prabhupada says when you join the Hare Krishna movement, you declare war on
Maya.
The material energy. Yeah, it's very powerful. Maya is extremely powerful. So Prabhupada explains that now that we've declared war on Maya, when we hear the sound of the conch shell, there's a way to make the devotees feel confident that we will win the battle. We will be victorious in the battle. The main point is that you have to stay on the battlefield. If you leave the battlefield, then you'll lose the battle. So you have to stay on the battlefield. That's our credit. We don't leave the battlefield under any circumstances. And Prabhupada gave the example, and the Bhagavatam gives the example that going back to the spiritual world is like being on a ship, on a boat, and as we're traveling on that boat, then there'll be many tests. Just like in the old days, they used to sail all around the world. So when you're sailing around the world, there are many tests. It's very difficult sailing. But if you have a good captain, a good captain is the guru. If you have favorable winds, which are the Vedic literatures, the Srimad Bhagavatam, guiding us, and you have a good boat, strong boat, which is ISKCON, we'll get back to our destination. So devotees are confident when we hear the sound of the conch shell. That's why we blow the conch shell at the beginning and the end of the arti. Why do we blow the conch shell? Because it gives confidence to the devotees. It's a sign of victory. So Krishna sounded his conch shell. It's interesting because the battle isn't even over yet. Normally you'll blow the conch at the beginning of the battle, at the end of the battle. Krishna stops right in the middle and blows the conch shell. That's how powerful he is. That's how powerful a warrior Krishna is. Even in the middle of the fight, he'll stop back and show confidence. Many fighters we've seen, even in modern times. Some of them used to do like this. In the middle of the fight, they would show some confidence. Like that. So it is a sign of prowess or great power. Krishna is extremely powerful. So. Any points?
Play
Yeah, it's auspicious.
It sounds auspicious.
Just then, Banasura's mother, Kotara, desiring to have her son's life, desiring to save her son's life, appeared before Lord Krishna naked and with her hair undone. So, she was doing this to distract Krishna, distract the warriors. She appears naked. Now, interesting, in very early days of his time, 66, 67, very early, Prabhupada was being interviewed on radio. Might have even been 1966, very, very early days of ISKCON. And Prabhupada had come to the West as a guru. So there was some, I think it was in New York, on the Lower East Side. So someone was interviewing Prabhupada on the radio, like an alternate radio station. And they said, "Swamiji, are you self-realized?" And what did Prabhupada say?
"Yes."
"Yes." And then they said, "What is the proof?" And what did Prabhupada say? "Yeah, I can be in a room full of naked women and I am not disturbed. But you cannot." That is a sign of self-realization. When one is in the association of the opposite sex and he's not disturbed, then that is self-realization. When even he sees the opposite sex naked and still not disturbed in consciousness, that is self-realization. I read a quote from Prabhupada last week, actually. Prabhupada said, the modern men, if they just see the breast of the woman, and Prabhupada said, and her armpit, which means when she's naked, then Prabhupada said, they're completely disturbed in mind. But someone who is self-realized is not disturbed in that way. Just like Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was the intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. So you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was training the Devi Dasis. Just like now in Puri, and we just had Rath Yatra a few days ago. And in Melbourne we had it a couple of days ago as well. So in Puri, Ramananda Roy was training the young girls to dance for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. So Prajumna Mishra, he came to see Lord Chaitanya. And when he came to see Lord Chaitanya, he was sent by Lord Chaitanya to see Ramananda Roy. So Prajumna Mishra, when he came there, he was waiting to see him, and then he was waiting for quite some time. One of the servants came out. He said, "Where is Ramananda Roy?" So he's training these young girls how to dance and like this. He would massage their bodies with oil. Young girls. They'd take off their clothes. He would massage their bodies with oil, preparing them to dance for a Jagannath. And then he would teach them the dances. Very intimate service. So Prajumna Mishra, he was disturbed in his mind. He left. He went back to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, "How was your association with Ramananda Roy?" He said, "No, I left. He's with young women and intimately associating with them." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Only Ramananda Roy could do this and his mind would not be disturbed." He said, "Go back and associate with him." So Prajumna Mishra came back. Ramananda Roy came. And Prajumna Mishra, he said, "I came last time to see you, but you were with the young girls. I told Lord Chaitanya said, I've committed an offense against you." Because in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, he is Vishakha. Vishakha is one of the two most intimate gopis, friends of Srimati Radharani. So Vishakha, what is her birthday? What day does Vishakha appear? Radhashtami. She appears the same time as Radharani. When Radharani appears in this world, so does Vishakha. Same time. Their villages, one's in Varshana or in Raval, and the other one was very close by. If you go to Varshana, Vishakha's village is just close by. So, and it's if Vishakha looks exactly like Radharani, But her colour is just a little less, it's lighter than Radharani. Radharani is like a very deep golden colour, and Vishakha is a little bit lighter, but otherwise look virtually the same. Same time, everything. So Vishakha is intimate associate. So when Ramananda Roy was massaging the girls in his consciousness, he's in the form of Vishakha. Yeah. So this is self-realization. So Prabhupada said, I can be with naked women, but you cannot. Because he's not disturbed, because Prabhupada is in the conscious of his spiritual form. So when we become conscious of our spiritual form, we're not attracted to the material energy. And at this point in time, we are attracted, so we have to be careful not to be disturbed in our consciousness. Any points? Lord Gadagraja turned his face away to avoid seeing the naked women, and Banasura, deprived of his chariot, his bow shattered, took the opportunity to flee into his city. So what does Krishna do? Turns his head, doesn't look at the naked woman. What are the men doing this day and age? Yeah. What is the biggest topic on the internet? If you go on Google, what's the biggest search of all things? Right, it's pornography. More than anything else on the planet, this is what they look at more than anything. Yeah. Looking at naked women. And, you know, sex life and all these things in its perverted forms. So Lord Krishna shows us how to be civilized. Devotees don't look at these things because we're civilized. We follow Krishna. We're Krishna Gan. We're in Krishna's group. Karshna, we call Vaishnava. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says we are Karshna. Karshna means, Vaishnava means follower of Vishnu. Karshna means follower of Krishna. We don't call ourselves Karshna, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. We are Krishna, follower. So we're in Krishna Gan, Krishna's group. Krishna doesn't do these things. Krishna's associates don't do these things. We're their followers. We don't do these things. We avoid these things. That's why the internet and all these things are dangerous. And even just walking down the street is dangerous. People don't dress properly and they don't act properly. And in public they do all sorts of things, and all the billboards are displaying sex life. And, it's everywhere now. It's all over the media, it's everywhere. So it's a contaminated age. But Krishna, he turned his head, he would not indulge in that. Now why is that? Mahatmanas tu mam parta, devim prakritim ashrita. Krishna's ashraya is the devi prakriti. Krishna is attracted to Radharani. Radharani is attracted to Krishna. Like Rukmini said a few chapters ago, Rukmini said, why would I be attracted to these men? Krishna said, why don't you go off with them? Why don't you go and marry Shishupala or Dantavakra or something? And she said, how can I be attracted to a man whose body is made of blood and pus and bile and mucus? And your body is Sachidananda Vigraha. Why, if I have your association, how could I be attracted to that? So in the same way, we can only give up our attachment to the material energy when we understand it for what it is. It is made of inferior nature. Krishna's form is spiritual. When we become advanced in Krishna consciousness, we will become attracted to Krishna's form. How do you become attracted to Krishna's form? First, you have to become attracted to his name. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. First you have to become Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Krishna's name is full of rasa. Rasa Vigraha is full of, it is non different from Krishna. Abhinitva Nama Namino, it says. Purna, Shudo, Nitya, Mukto, Abhinitva. Namanamana. It means that Krishna and his form are not different. So when you associate with the holy name, you're associating with Krishna. And when you become attracted to the holy name, then you'll become attracted to his form, and then his qualities, and then his pastimes. And when you're attracted like this, you cannot be attracted to the material energy. Because material energy is it's B grade, or C grade, or D grade, or E grade. It doesn't even, compared to spiritual life. So that's why we have to become self-realized. We have to understand our spiritual form, and then you won't be attracted to Maya anymore. Param jishtva nivartati. You can only give up the lower thing when you understand the higher thing. So, any points?
So, in the previous chapter, I was studying Krishna Chaturvedi purports. So, he mentioned that Krishna's queen was so beautiful that they used to try and attract him by two different ways, Prema Maya and Kama Maya. So, Krishna Chaturvedi writes that Krishna is only attracted by Prema Maya. He cannot be disturbed by Kama Maya. Though they were using the principles of Kama to attract him, with their eyes movements and dressing and bodily movements. But Krishna was not attracted, but he was only attracted to the prema maya part. And then he says Krishna is called as Vibhumna. Vibhumna means that he is the ultimate object of attraction. So he will not be attracted by anything else other than loving reciprocation. So Krishna will never be disturbed by Krishna.
Very nice. Any other point? Okay.
We are also called Rupa Nuga. Rupa
Nuga. Yeah. Yeah, if you look at our full name, it's quite big. Now, we just call ourselves Hare Krishnas. Otherwise, if someone says, what religion do you follow? You have to say Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Rupa Nuga, Saraswat. Prabhupada, Nuga, Vaishnava. Well, that's all. Just easier to say.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. Oh, God. What is it?
What I was trying to say, that Krishna is the Maya's master. So
yeah.
If you take Krishna shelter, then Maya will leave you.
What verse is that?
In Bhagavad Gita 7.
Which one?
4.
Devi Hirishu. Gunamaya.
Gunamaya.
Dirachaya. Yeah. Krishna says himself in the Gita that if you become attracted, then Maya will not touch you.
Yeah. So how can that lady attract you?
After Lord Shiva's followers had been driven away, the Shiva Dwara, who had 3 heads and 3 feet, pressed forward to attack Lord Krishna. As the Shiva Dwara approached, he seemed to burn everything in the 10 directions. Brihad, would you like to read the?
Srila Vishwachakravarti Thakur quotes the following description in Shiva Jiva. The terrible Shivajiva has Shivajvara has 3 legs, 3 heads, 6 arms, and 9 eyes. Showing ashes, he resembled Yamaraja at the time of reversal and annihilation.
Any points?
This Shivajvara was a personification of Yamaraja.
What is that?
This Shivajvara was a personification of Yamaraja, of Lord Shiva.
Of what?
This is a personification of a weapon of Lord Shiva.
Yeah. It is his weapon. Yeah.
Shiva Jor and Narayan Jor.
Yeah, they have a fight, the two of them.
How does he resemble Yamaraj?
What's that?
He resembled Yamaraj every time he was saying it.
Because Yamaraj is very fierce when he shows that side of himself. Yamaraj is a devata, he's a demigod. He's one of the digpals, which means he's one of the lords of the different directions. He's the lord of the south. And his planet is called Pluto, the one we call Pluto, that's Yamaloka. So he lives there, and he's very beautiful, he's a devata, but then when he judges people, when you go to Yamaloka, and he comes out, and you've been impious, he puts on a vesh, like a you see, like Jagannath puts on that hati vesh. Yeah, so he puts on like a vesh. He looks very grotesque, very fearsome. He comes out, and then he has his staff, smashes his staff. He said, "So tell me what they've done." And Chitragupta says, "They've done all these things." He said, and they're very angry. He looks very fierce. Everyone's very. So when he's destroying things, he looks like that. So this Shiva Dwara looks something like that. So the Shiva Dwara is his weapon, and he's the personification of heat diseases in this world, which are based on heat. So you know when you get rashes, and you get fevers, you know, you get a fever and you're like, your body is so hot. So he's the personification of all these things. So he's this horrible, horrible demoniac. So when he comes near you, you start feeling all these symptoms, like that. And this is the way he can attack on the battlefield. He can make all the warriors feel all this pain and suffering. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes an interesting point, is that if you take shelter of Krishna, you don't have to fear anything in this world. We fear things in this world, but we don't have to fear anything actually in this world. Fear is due to a lack of faith. It is based on avidya. Avidya means ignorance. It means when we're too much identifying with this material world, then we experience fear, pain and suffering. But actually pain and suffering are not there. It's actually a mental conception. Same as happiness. It's not actually, the soul is not actually suffering or experiencing material pleasure. It's just a misconception or identification we have. So this fear, which is there, which is coming from this, when you take shelter of Krishna with faith, all the fear goes away. So Vishnu Chakra, it actually says that when you take shelter of Krishna, you don't have to worry about fever. Because this is like this personality, the Shiva Dwara, is like the personification of fever. Like a heat weapon like that. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes this point. Devotee doesn't have to worry about that anymore. So what does that mean? Does that mean you'll never get fever ever again? No, it doesn't mean that. You might get fever. Still you might get sick. Sometimes devotees get sick. Actually, when a devotee is in ill health, I was saying last week, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and I think Bhakti Vinod Thakur also, they say this is Krishna's mercy. If we're going through some sickness, it's actually Krishna's mercy because it makes us detach from our body. So it is not that a devotee will not go through fever and these things, but a devotee will not have any fear if he is taking shelter of Krishna. No fear about these things. In other words, if a devotee dies, a devotee is not fearful to die. If we're scared of death, that means that is called asmita. It's one of the five types of ignorance which cover us in this world. Asmita means fear of death. You're scared of death. Hands up if you're scared of death. Okay, 3, 4. Okay, 5. Good. Everyone else is transcendent. Very good. That means you'll get a good mark on your test. Because that is the test. That is the test. The test is not what's happening in 2 weeks. No? The test is this. what will your consciousness be like at the time of death? If we are fearful, that means we're still identifying with the body. If a devotee is self-realized, there is no fear. So he doesn't have fear. It doesn't mean that the fever won't come, but he's not fearful of it. He's not scared. So Vishnu Chakravarti points this out. Devotees are not fearful because they're surrendered to Krishna. Any points?
Actually, all the bad things present. Well, what? Temptation, illusion, fear, everything is it in the power of the
Messiah? Yeah. You don't have to worry about those things.
Yeah.
Okay. Seeing this personified weapon approach, Lord Narayan then released his own personified fever weapon, the Vishnu Dwara. The Shiva Dwara and the Vishnu Dwara thus battled each other. What is Krishna's weapon? Yeah, the cold one. The fever you get when you're cold. So it's like pneumonia and all these things when your body is cold. And that is the Krishna's weapon. It's called Narayan Dwara. So these two came, the heat, fever weapon, and the Narayan Dwara, the cold one. Srila Prabhupada actually said, he said, you can tolerate heat, but intense cold is unbearable. If you're really, really, really cold, it's unbearable. If you're really, really, really hot, it's difficult, but cold is it. So he threw his weapon. So then Krishna threw his weapon. And then they were fighting each other. His two weapons. And then the Narayan Dwara overcame. And then he made the Shiva Dwara sick. And made him started feeling all cold. And he could not tolerate it anymore. So what is the basic lesson that we get from this? Ete chamsa kala pumsa. Krishna is supreme. That is the whole purport of the Bhagavatam. Because Lord Shiva threw his most powerful weapon, so Krishna just said, threw his weapon and then easily destroyed it. Krishna is always
victorious.
If you're with Krishna, then. What is the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita? What is it? Yeah. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Tatra Pata Dhanuradhara. Then? Four things. Huh? Shri? Yeah. Where's the verse? It's not coming into my head. What's the last verse of the Gita? Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutiya. Yeah. So wherever there's Krishna, there will be
victory,
opulence, extraordinary power, and morality. Wherever there is Krishna, these four things will be there. Victory. Prabhupada said, when we preach, the tests get bigger. Prabhupada said, if the demons are coming out, that means our preaching is having effect. If the demons are not coming out, that means we're not preaching that much. We really know we're preaching when the demons start coming out and attacking us. So that is... But Prabhupada said the devotee will always be victorious. Because Krishna is there to protect. So guaranteed victory is there. Wherever, if a devotee is serving Krishna, then victory will come. So victory, opulence will come. You see here, like big opulent temple. So much opulence is there. Why is that? Because Radha Vallabha is being worshipped nicely, there will be opulence. Then, extraordinary power. Devotees can do things which are extraordinary. Prabhupada is the best example of that. Prabhupada achieved extraordinary things. Because he was surrendered to Krishna. So there's extraordinary power, which was there. And then?
Morality.
If the devotees are practicing sincerely, there'll be morality. Devotees always act properly. They treat each other properly, they treat the other devotees properly, they treat the outsiders properly. Morality. If Krishna is actually there in the devotee's heart, the devotee will act properly. Like Prabhupada, they always act properly. Any points? The Shiva Dwara, overwhelmed by the strength of the Vishnu Dwara, cried out in pain, but finding no refuge, the frightened Shiva Dwara approached Lord Krishna, the master of the senses, hoping to attain his shelter. Thus, with joined palms, he began to praise the Lord. Woody, would you like to read them?
As pointed out by Srila Vishnuada Chakravarti, it is significant that the Shiva Dwara actually leave the side of his master, Lord Shiva, and directly take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna.
So, any points?
He must be very intelligent.
Yeah. First of all, he went to his master because he was being defeated. So when you're being defeated, you take shelter of your master. So he went to his master, Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said, I can't do anything. So then he went to Krishna. Right? And then Krishna blessed him. He surrendered to Krishna. So that's the basic principle. That's what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. Only Krishna can give us shelter. We can worship Lord Shiva, right? It's not wrong to worship Lord Shiva. When I chant my japa in the morning, before I begin chanting, then I pray to the acharyas and the deities in Vrindavan and all the different personalities I pray to. And I pray to Lord Shiva. You know, whenever, before I chant my japa, I always pray. Gopishwarashir, I always pray. You know, but I pray to him as Krishna's devotee. You don't pray to Lord Shiva independently. But always as Krishna's devotee. Because Krishna in the spiritual world, Lord Shiva manifests as Nandishwara Hill. Now if you go to Vrindavan, Nandagam, in that place, that village, there's one hill and the temple's on top. That hill is the incarnation of Lord Shiva. He manifests so Krishna can perform his pastimes on top. So then down at New Nandagram, where I'm living, then that place is called New Nandagram. So, you know, when I'm chanting deeply sometimes, I meditate. This is Nandagram. We're actually residing here under Lord Shiva's shelter and protection. But we always see him as Krishna's devotee. So we worship Lord Shiva. We worship Lord Brahma. We worship Lord Indra. Everyone, but only connected to Krishna. Krishna is supreme. That's what the Bhagavatam is establishing. Have to be clear on this. Prabhupada was very emphatic. We were saying last week. Prabhupada said, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Other people said to Prabhupada, say God consciousness. Prabhupada said, no. When the devotees went to South India to preach, Krishna is not as popular in South India. Lord Rama is more popular. They said, let's say, but they wrote to Prabhupada, Prabhupada's disciples, and said, shall we emphasize Lord Rama? And Prabhupada said, no, emphasize Krishna. Because this is the purport of the Bhagavad Gita. We see Rama in relation to Krishna. He's Krishna's expansion. We see Shiva as a partial like expansion of Krishna. Shiva Tattva. And we see everything in relation to Krishna.
I have a question. Lord Shiva was actually from Brahmadev. Only Rudra came. All the 11 Rudras and everybody came from Brahmadev. But actual original Lord Shiva, he came from Narayana.
Yeah, in Vaikuntha, then Sadashiva.
Yeah,
he is a form of Narayan. Yeah. And then he expands into this world as Lord Shiva, and he contacts the material energy, Maya, and that way he becomes Shiva Tattva. Yeah. It means he's not Narayan anymore.
Why
he
is the
greatest Vaishnavas, you know, the Lord Krishna helps Vaishnavas
so that they can help us.
Yeah. Yeah, we should pray to Lord Shiva. The Shiva Dwara said, I bow down to you of unlimited potencies, the Supreme Lord, the Supersoul of all beings. You possess pure and complete consciousness, another cause of cosmic creation, maintenance, and dissolution. Perfectly peaceful, you are the absolute truth to whom the Vedas indirectly refer. So what did he have to go through to recite prayers like this?
Previously he thought he was very powerful.
Hmm.
But now that he was defeated by Narayana, he came to his senses.
Yeah. 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 Only when we go through pain and suffering do we take shelter of Krishna. Isn't it? Hands up if you would have joined the Hare Krishna movement if you weren't suffering intensely in the material world. That's why I joined. That's why I joined. I was suffering too much. You know, I heard about the Hare Krishnas, I read the books, and everything was very nice, but I wasn't suffering enough. And then when Krishna made me suffer more and more, then I thought, oh, I'll go and join the Hare Krishnas. So Krishna says in Gita, there are four reasons why we come to Krishna. You want knowledge of the absolute truth.
Money.
You want, out of curiosity. You want something material, or you're suffering and you won't release the suffering. Jiva Goswami says, those who are searching after knowledge, they are brahmanas. Some devotees come to the temple, they want knowledge, they're brahmanas. Some because they're curious, they're kshatriyas. Some because they want something, they're vaishyas. Some because they're suffering, they're shudra. So I am shudra. Because Kalo Sudra Sambhava. Everyone in Kali Yuga is Sudra or less. So it's only by suffering that we come. When we're suffering, we take shelter. And now that we're practicing the process, it's only when we suffer that we make advancement, actually. Not only when we suffer, but it's very much the impetus. I see in my own life as a devotee, when I'm suffering, I get serious. When I'm not suffering enough, I don't get serious enough. I see it in myself. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm not suffering, but I really get serious. But other times. So the suffering is necessary. Otherwise, you won't surrender to Krishna. So when suffering comes, that is Krishna's mercy. So what do you say? Thank you very much. Or you say jai. You say jai.
Sometimes, you know, the devotees attract you to Srila Prabhupada attracted me.
Yes,
but it's Gita.
Yeah, we were attracted, but would we have surrendered?
Yeah, so
you're a Brahmana, so you just came for knowledge, that's okay.
Well, actually Srila Prabhupada attracted me.
Yeah.
To go to Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Mm. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that by worshipping Krishna, Krishna Bhakti leads to Vaikuntha Goloka. This is explained by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Krishna has 64 qualities. Right? There are four qualities which separate Krishna even from Vishnu Narayana. So those qualities, 56 to 60, who has those qualities?
Narayana.
Only Narayana. Yeah. Even Shiva doesn't have those qualities. First 50 qualities, all of us can have to some degree. Krishna has them unlimitedly. All of us can have the first 50 to some degree. Brahma can have them to some degree. Then from 51 to 55, only Shiva can have them. Brahma can have them to some degree. Like that. But then 56 to 60, that is only Narayan. Only God has those qualities. One of those qualities, from 56 to 60, one of the qualities is he can liberate his followers. Even Shiva cannot do that. Even Lord Shiva cannot send you back to Vaikuntha. Only God can do that. Can say, okay, that's enough, go back. So because we worship Krishna, we have the fortunate opportunity we can even go to Goloka, Vrindavan, which is a very, very rare attainment, actually. If we act properly and serve nicely and develop the right consciousness, we can go straight to Goloka Dham, Vrindavan.
So, there are in South India, how there is Vaishnava Sampradaya, and then there is Saiva Sampradaya as well, Lord Shiva's followers. So they have that Nayanmas and everybody who are extremely renounced, and then but they are considering Lord Shiva to, like, Lord Shiva is the main god for them. Okay. But they are also very much renounced so that they are not, have no attachment for the body. But do they go to Sadasiva Loka?
Well, that follows the Lord Shiva?
Very advanced, like, totally.
It depends on knowledge. It means when you're chanting the holy name, what is the second offense? What's the second offense against chanting the holy name of Krishna? Consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. So if they're worshipping Shiva, but if they're worshipping him as Sadashiva, they'll go to Vaikuntha. If they're worshipping him in the form of Shiva Tattva, right? Or if they worship with the misconception that he is the Supreme, without understanding his, or that he's higher than Narayan, like that, then they don't go to Vaikuntha. Or if they worship him independent of Narayan, they don't go to Vaikuntha. If you worship him as Sadashiva, then you go to Sadashiva Loka. Mm-hmm. That's the point.
They should worship him as an expansion of Narayan.
As Sadashiva, yeah. But not as, when he appears in this world, that's not Sadashiva, that's Shambhu or Shiva, Rudra. That's a different thing. So the Bhagavatam clarifies all of this. And then Krishna says in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right? How many chapters are there in the Bhagavad Gita? 16, very good.
18.
Oh, that's right, there's 18. 18 chapters. And of the 18, which one is considered the most important? Huh? You didn't do Bhakti Shastra with me, did you? Okay, I'll start. Which chapter is the most important out of the 18? Good. Anyone else? Any more guesses?
But the second chapter.
18.
second.
First verse is very good. 12th. Yeah, 12th. Okay. Yeah. It's actually 9. 9 is the most important of all of them. That's the most important.
But the second chapter is called the summary.
Okay. Thank you so much. But number 9 is the most important. And the Chaturshloki, which is in the beginning of 10. 8, 9, 10, 11. So if you take the Chaturshloki and chapter 9, that's the essence of the essence of the Gita. Because Mammana Bhavama Bhakto, that's really the Rahasya, that's the secret of everything. Krishna says clearly in the 9th chapter, he says, according to who you worship, that's where you will go. So if you worship Pitri, you go to?
Pitri.
Pitri, yeah. If you worship Bhuta, Buddha, worship Devata. Whatever you worship, your choice. People are attached to crazy things these days. One guy in India is worshipping Donald Trump. Like, you saw that? Yeah, all right. You've got a picture. Crazy guy. They're doing puja every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything. Puts a sandal up. Oh, what the hell?
Where is he going?
Next lifetime, America. Crazy guy. Actually doing that every day. What's that? Yeah. I don't think he has his own planet. He thinks he does.
Trump Towers.
Yeah. You probably become like the janitor in the Trump Tower or something. So they have this, this is insanity. You know, people, they do, they worship all sorts of things. Very crazy things. Whoever you worship, that's where you'll go to. You have to be very careful. Who do you worship? You go to our altars. Who do we worship? Right. Guru Gauranga. Right. Radha Balabha. Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. Right. Prabhupada says in the 12th chapter, in one of the purports in the Gita, he said, don't even divert your attention to any other form of God. Only Krishna. Prabhupada said, don't even go to another form. That's a powerful statement. That shows Prabhupada's heart. So that shows who Prabhupada was worshipping. Don't even go to another form. Okay, if you want to worship Lord Nisringadev, that's okay. He is Krishna. But then you'll go to Nisringaloka. You won't go to Goloka. You'll go to Vaikuntha. Or Ramachandra, as you like. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavad. No? Who was worshipping Lord Ram? Murari Gupta, yeah. Lord Chaitanya tested him. He came back. He said, I will commit suicide, but I will not give up the worship of Lord Ram. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you have to worship Krishna. He said, no, if you tell me that, I will kill myself. Right? He said, you are Hanuman. He was the reincarnation of Hanuman. He said, you are Hanuman. So then he could not give up his worship. So, okay, you choose whatever you choose. So whatever our bhava is, but Prabhupada says, don't even divert from Krishna. So that is the point. Whoever you worship, that's where you'll go to. It's very important who you fix in your mind. It's very important who you take shelter of. Burujan Prabhu says this. Sometimes a few years ago, he used to ask this question all the time. He said, where does your mind take shelter? When you're going through difficulties in your life and problems, even on a day to day, where does your mind go? What is your ashraya? Is it Krishna or is it something else? Are you fixed on Krishna in your consciousness or are you fixed on something else? When you're faced with life and death, where does your mind take shelter? Because whatever you think of at the time of death, Krishna says, that's where you'll go. So it's very important. So you have to meditate very deeply. Any points?
In fact, Prabhupada goes on to say, I think, that we should not even, because Krishna had just withdrawn his universal form and then he was showing his 400 form. And then he withdrew and showed his 200 form to Arjuna. So Prabhupada, I think, also says that our attraction should be only to the 200 form of Shyam Sundar and Vrindavan, not even to the 400 form of Krishna.
Hmm.
Like Narayana Vishnu.
Hmm. Or Krishna and Dwarka.
Man was worshipping Rohan, his name is Krishna.
His name is Krishna. Really? Salah. Too crazy, man. Which verse is it?
25.
26. 6. Time, fate, karma, the jiva and his propensities, the subtle material elements. Guy's crazy. The material body, the life air, false ego, the various senses, and the totality of these as reflected
in the living being's subtle body. All this constitutes your material, illusory energy, Maya, an endless cycle like that of seed and plant. I take shelter of you, the negation of this Maya. So this is basically everything that we're entangled by. What is it we're entangled by in this material world? This is the list. It's basically what's keeping us all here.
Mainly karma.
Yeah, mainly karma. Ignorance, avidya.
Yeah. Desire and karma.
Desire, yeah, false ego. I mean, so this is the list, basically. This is what why we're here. So, if you surrender to Krishna, you become released from the whole thing. Mameva ye prapajante. Krishna says, just surrender to me and you'll be released from the whole thing. That's how powerful Krishna Bhakti is. So, this is jnana. This is how we cultivate spiritual knowledge, by understanding this. That's why we have to study the Bhagavatam, so we understand what we are not and what we are. It's the process of Sankhya, as explained by Lord Kapila back in the third chapter. So we have to understand that we are not this. I was reading the last couple of days one quote from Prabhupada. Just trying to think the context that he was saying it. Oh, that's right. Back in, I think, 74. And then they took us to court and they said Hare Krishna movement is brainwashing. So they came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, they're taking us to court for brainwashing. Prabhupada was fed up. He said, we are brain giving. He said, they've got no brains. Right? He said, they don't understand the difference between their body and their soul. They're brainless. You don't even understand this basic point. I mean, we understand it theoretically. We don't act on that platform. But at least theoretically we understand it. They don't even understand it. I'm not the body, I'm the soul. They don't understand this. So Prabhupada said, there is no brain there. Don't tell us we're brainwashing. We're giving you brain. You've got nothing in there. That's the point. So this is what we have to overcome. With various intentions, you perform pastimes to maintain the demigods, the saintly persons, and the codes of religion for this world. By these pastimes, you also kill those who stray from the right path and live by violence. Indeed, your present incarnation is meant to relieve the earth's burden. So it's nice in the... Is it in this purport or is it in Vishnu's purport? I want to have a quick look. Yeah, Prabhupada... Ridhan Namara says, the demigods act as cosmic administrators, and the sages, by their teachings and their good example, illumine the path of self-realization and holiness. That's a nice line. Nice sentence. This is what we're meant to do as devotees. Right? We're meant to show good behavior, good example, and the path of holiness. Because it's not there in the world these days. These things are all being taken away by the influence of the age of Kali. So this is our duty. That's why Krishna comes to this world. Dharma samstapanataya. To reestablish proper behavior, proper conduct, devotion to Krishna. That's what we have to show the world.
So,
because
Lord Krishna blessed Shivajwara, that is why he's having all these realizations. So the peaceful realized, why was he fighting with Narayan?
Why what?
Like, because Lord Krishna blessed Shivajwara, that is why now he's having all these realizations about Lord Krishna's position, because just some time ago he was fighting with Lord Krishna's
position. No, because he almost died. What do you do when you almost die? Hopefully you wake up. So that's what happened. He had to almost die, and then he got realization. Yeah. Sometimes that's what it takes. It takes someone has to go through something very, very heavy in life to surrender to Krishna. You see, many people, myself included, all of us, you know, it was only when we went through heavy things, then we surrendered to Krishna. Otherwise, we don't surrender. So. I am tortured by the fierce power of your terrible fever weapon, which is cold yet burning. All embodied souls must suffer as long as they remain bound to material ambitions and thus averse to serving your lotus feet. A very nice verse. That's a beautiful verse. The Bhagavatam is full of beautiful verses. So what's the basic purport? You don't surrender to Krishna, you will suffer. You surrender to Krishna, you will suffer. Hare Krishna. The point is you'll suffer either way, but when the devotee is suffering, it is different. Because if you don't surrender, you will suffer, but when a devotee is suffering, that suffering releases him. It's Krishna's mercy. And the suffering ultimately brings you to Krishna. So it's a blessing. But non-devotees just suffer and they don't... Sometimes they're suffering. They don't get it. And you think, how much more do you have to go through? You know, what do you need? I mean, I meet people all the time. They go through so many things, they still don't surrender to Krishna.
I'll give you an example. I read yesterday in the news in Hazaribagh in Bihar, some about 12 people died in the same house and they took poison or something. All of them died. Hmm. How foolish one can be.
Yeah.
But they wrote a note also that don't blame anybody, we are our own fault, we are doing suicide.
Yeah. Yeah, we just have to preach. Otherwise, the world is crazy. And the point is not just preach, but we have. So people read the books, and then they come to the temple. When they get to the temple has to be what's in the books. Because if they come here and it's not like what's described, they don't stay. So you have to make sure. You know, it's so important. Each one of us. We think, well, we're not big devotees. Okay, we're not big devotees, but the point is we have such an influence and such an impact on the lives of people that we can't understand it. So we have to act properly. It's a great responsibility when you're a devotee. The Supreme Lord said, O three-headed one, I am pleased with you. May your fear of my fever weapon be dispelled, and may whoever remembers our conversation here have no reason to fear you. Thus addressed, the Maheshwara Dwara bowed down to the infallible Lord and went away. But Banasura then appeared, riding forth on his chariot to fight Lord Krishna. Okay, he's back. Carrying numerous weapons in his 1,000 hands. O king, the terribly infuriated demon shot many arrows at Lord Krishna, the carrier of the disc weapon. As Bana continued hurling weapons at him, the Supreme Lord began using his razor-sharp chakra to cut off Banasura's arms as if they were tree branches. Lord Shiva felt compassion for his devotee, Banasura, whose arms were being cut off, and thus he approached Lord Chakra Yuta Krishna and spoke to him as follows. So now Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Lord Shiva approaches Krishna in the mood of his devotee. Because he points out that, you know, if you have a fight with someone, like if we break out into a fight and we're beating each other, you don't come back a few minutes later and say, oh, no. But Lord Shiva, he fought with Krishna intensely, but then afterwards he realized, why was I fighting with him? And then he thought to himself, oh, Krishna covered me with Yogamaya. Now, so then he just came to you and said, my Lord, you've covered me with yoga, I fought with you, but now I want to pray to you. So he's in the mood of bhakti and devotion. Lord Shiva doesn't get, he's always in the mood of devotion to Krishna. He doesn't get forgetful. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. The exam is in not tomorrow night, but 2 weeks. The closed book exam. And you will need to hand in your open book topics. Same time in 2 weeks. So 2 weeks for the open book, oral presentations, and the closed book. So not tomorrow night, but next Tuesday we'll do an overview of the sections. Okay. Shall I roll back in?